So I also want to greet you in the name of Jesus, the one we've worshiped, sang to, and been blessed by. I just think of these words, as the brother shared there on brothers, that we come before each other with a pure heart, fervently, with unfeigned love. That means genuine love. That's not false or frivolous or just wanting something for itself. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He did for me. He did for you. He came with a genuine love, an agape love. That word agape is a Greek word that means sacrificial. We can love each other as brothers, and oftentimes our love is much tested when we have to give up something of ourselves. It can be money, it can be time, it can be something I have that I'd rather have. And I just appreciate what's been shared. I just want to say, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has loved us. He loved us to make a sacrifice for your sins and mine. And that's the only way we can come to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way is through Christ. And through that, we can be begotten again into this lively hope, this living hope. It's a hope that's alive. It's a hope that, and a living hope is a hope that is confident that God is there. It's trusting God. And He gave us that by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus on the cross paid for our sins. And I know we know all this, but we just want to praise God for that. And I want to get to this verse in 1 Peter here, a couple verses here, that he is giving us an inheritance. If you are prepared, and life has a way. my thought in general today is a message of we come from a little further south in Indiana, Worthington, Indiana. We've lived there for almost 20 years now. We moved out of a large community of an Amish community some years ago, and God took us on a journey. And that journey, as I reflect today, is a little bit of a parallel of reflection of what might be going on in your lives, what has happened in our lives. And our testimony is this, that God brought us out of a bondage. Now, I'm not talking about, I praise God all the time for He planted you, He planted me, He let you be born, He let me be born in the setting that I was born in for a reason. And you're here for a reason, but that reason needs to be turned into the same reason that He wanted to take the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. There's a bondage within us that we're born into. There's a bondage that we live in, and that is self and sin. Let me just go on here. And as I parallel us coming out of that bondage and going on what I consider somewhat of a wilderness journey, we all have this journey. I think God wants to sanctify us when He takes us on those journeys. He wants to get the things out of our lives. I might read in Hebrews here a little bit. I'm just giving you an outline of God wanting to take us out of bondage, out of our own, out of, it can be circumstances that we're in that we can't help. But it also can just be the bondage of our own selfish nature and sin. But He promised, Jesus promised, He said, there's many mansions in heaven. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And that's where He said He's the way, the truth, and the life. And it's only through Him that we can get out of this bondage. And that's what I want to share with you today, how a little bit of our testimony and parallel that to what I call today living in the land of Canaan. And you can live in the land of Canaan here today. I'll explain that. We often outline that as maybe crossing the Jordan into the promised land, that living hope, that inheritance, incorruptible, that's undefiled, that mansion that God has set there, the many mansions. I'd like for you to get this picture. I recently got this picture and it helped me a lot. And I'm not against the word. I think the English translators there in the word mansions probably did, in a sense, the mansion. We're not just going to heaven just so we can have a nice home. And that's a burden I have on my heart. There's many people that I believe that are here on this earth with the temporal things. And we get this picture of needing to do like our neighbors, and we have these mansions. But what God is actually going to have there, the word translated is many dwellings. There's a promise there for a place for you. Is your name there? Is my name there? And as I look to God and sometimes ask Him what it'll be like in heaven, I don't feel like I deserve a mansion. But He wants to give me more than I deserve. He wants to give you more than you deserve. And that's only going to come through believing in Jesus Christ, the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and me. And we're kept there by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I'm reading 1 Peter 1 here just a little bit, expounding, and then I'm going to move forward with my thoughts that I was sharing there on life's journey as parallels to the children of Israel coming out of the land of bondage. In 1 Peter 1, 5, it says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so this Christian journey is, if we have begun the journey, in Hebrews 12, or maybe it's 13, can't quite remember, but we, Hebrews 12, it says, we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is where it begins, with Christ. And that's what I'm here for today, is to preach Christ. To preach that, and I say preach, but I'm here to share that life is a journey, and don't get weary in well-doing. God's promises are real, but there is some conditions, and we need to be kept by the power that God has through faith. And so with that, I'm going to read a little bit in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, if you want to go there. This is kind of my theme in a sense. As we go through life, I want to encourage us today not to look at the temporal things. The children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness journey there, they got so focused on everyday life that they didn't actually see God work in their lives. And my burden today for people is, one, to get out of that land of bondage, and two, if you have a wilderness, if your God is taking you through a wilderness journey, and I'll explain that a little bit later, we'll come back to that. What I mean is there's hard times, and God chastens those He loves. He wants the trial of our faith can come out as pure gold, as Peter says, if we let us be tried. If we don't let ourselves be tried, we'll end up like the children of Israel. We may never get into the land of Canaan. Many didn't, because they murmured and complained. I'll come back. But before I go there again, there's a few verses here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 that... that were kind of on my heart. And it says, therefore, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't get weary because of what God wants to do with us. He wants everything to redound to His glory. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that's my desire as we're here together as friends, brothers, sisters. We commend ourselves. That means we give ourselves under each other in a sense of scrutiny, conscience. And we need to be transparent. My thought goes to a verse in Revelation. I don't know if I can find it quick enough. But when I think about commending ourselves to each other's conscience in the sight of God, we don't want to handle the word. I'm not here. I'm very conscious of not wanting to mislead you or handle the word of God deceitfully. And that can come in different ways. I might describe that a little bit if my thoughts go back to that. But I'm here with a transparency of wanting to encourage us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have not come out of that land of bondage, to do so. Back to a verse in Revelation. It's that verse in, let me see if I can find it here real quick. Okay, in verse 16, or chapter 16, Revelation 15, chapter 16 and 15, it says, "Behold, I come as a thief." That means Jesus won't, that means that there'll be a surprise to those that aren't watching. "Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments." The garment that God gives us, the garment of salvation, we need to have that on, and that's only in Jesus Christ. And if we do that, if we don't do that, it says, "Lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And my thought was that if we are here in transparency with each other and we have Christ as the author and finisher of our faith and our life is a journey, what goes on in life, as we heard about brotherhood and brothers sharing together, or we need to be transparent. In a sense, we need to be open. If we're hiding something, then we could be handling the word of God deceitfully. And that's what it says here, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Back in 2 Corinthians 4. Well, let me just keep reading here. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And that's my desire. We are here as people. I'm here as a person. And you're here. And there's an earthiness about us. There's something about us that we need God. We need the power of God in us. If it's not there, we can have all the outward signs of holiness. We can have all the excellency of speech. But as it says here in verse 15, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It will not redound to the glory of God if the excellency of what you are serving and what I'm serving and the way I'm handling this journey of life, if it's not of the power of God, if it's not of the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in vain. We will be caught in nakedness and shame on the day of judgment, as it says in Revelation there. And so let's take a look at encouragement. I want to maybe the thought of when paralleling maybe your life or the thoughts I have about our journey in life. I just share these, hopefully, as a testimony that by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that God could be glorified And it can be a power that strengthens you to not be faint in the way or to not live in a life of bondage. And that is, as I look back, when we got married, we were not born again. We thought we were, and, you know, life was just kind of hard. We just had a wedding recently, and I'm kind of a little bit touched by just, our son got married recently, Paul. Most of you know him, and I would love to have you all there. It just wasn't possible. And weddings that are in the Lord like that are just a marvelous thing. And we didn't get married that way. And today we are happily married. So very humbly say that our life's been a journey. And that's why I parallel what I'm wanting to maybe share here with the journey of the children of Israel in comparison to your life. Or maybe even sometimes you can parallel this to yourself as a congregation, life as a church. Sometimes we as churches go into slumps and we have a hard journey. Things are hard. I call that a wilderness journey. And it doesn't mean that you're not born again at that point. That's not what I'm implying. Don't get that message. But back to when God, we got very desperate. Our life was just not going well, and I was a very selfish person, totally focused on business and seeking pleasures of anything, nothing. I would say that, you know, in a way it was iniquity. It was not, there was deep sins in my life, but just pursuing worldliness. Yet at the same time, I knew God, I wanted to serve God, and on the outside, I looked like a Christian, or supposedly. But I was in bondage. Our marriage was in bondage. And through some circumstances of God's doing, after 7 years of marriage, our life changed. And we discovered that we really didn't have a relationship, or I didn't, especially myself. I'm mostly talking about myself. My wife was a lot more diligent about her relationship with God, I think, than I was. But we had a lot of rocky times. And it takes two to have a rocky time. You don't have that by yourself. Whether you're married or it's, I'm just saying that. You can have a lot of depressing, negative times alone, meaning, but when relationships are bad, it's usually two-sided. And we got really went deep with God with some help, and we got born again. And I call that God taking us out of the land of bondage. When God wanted to show the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. And yes, God had showed Abraham, and we could go back to the beginning and go through some things there. You know the stories of all the patriarchs that God called out. But God wanted to take His people that had gotten so wrapped up in themselves while they were serving in Egypt there. He wanted to call them out of that bondage. And He wanted to show them something. And here's what my encouragement is, that God wants to do something with your life. He wants to do something with our life. And in Exodus 34, in verse 10, I'm kind of skipping around here just a little bit, but here, after they had come out of the land of bondage, he says, "And behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." Now let's translate. I'm going to go back and see if I can remember this in 2 Corinthians here. Where remember that we read there that God wants us. He wants the gospel preached. He wants people to hear the word of God. He wants people to hear the testimony of God. So that all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. When they hear that, they're thankful to God, or they're convicted of God, and it redounds to His glory. We are here to bring glory to God with our lives. And that's what wasn't happening. When we're in bondage, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in a circumstance. So here's how I related it. There was issues in our life that we couldn't necessarily change. That means you have circumstances in life that you can't fix. But the way they related and the way I relate, and there are things in my life that I can change. Well, let me rephrase that. If I'm willing to do my part, there's things in my life that God can change. And that's what He wanted to do. That's what He wants to do with your life. That's what He wants to do with my life. He wants this where it says that He wants a people. He wants collectively a group of brothers and sisters. He wants a group of people where He can do marvels, such as have not been seen in all the earth. That's what He wanted to do with the children of Israel, to bring them out of bondage. And that's what He did with our life. He took us out of that bondage of sin and self and circumstances that looked like we couldn't change. God can change them. It says God, He holds His ways are past finding out, and He holds the nations in His hands. He holds your life in His hands. And yet at the same time, you hold your life in your hands. We have a choice. We have a will. God allows us. But it says that God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Is God is a merciful and gracious God is what I'm saying, but not to the guilty, because He does visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and to the third and fourth generation. Sometimes we get sometimes focused on that. That's just prior to what I read. This is all in Exodus 34. Where God wanted to take us out of the land of bondage, and He wanted to show us mercy. There's a psalm that says that if we honor the Lord, if we are grateful, if we praise the Lord and honor the Lord, in other words, if we fear God, if we reverence God and fear Him, He will, in my words, He will bless your children and grandchildren. I can't quite remember where that is in Psalms. I think it's 103. Maybe I should read that to get that thought for you. I don't like to. In Psalms 103, yeah. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." That's like your children and your grandchildren. And today, the reason, I don't know, maybe the reason my thought went that way, well, I'm just want to share what God has given us here for thoughts is, it is such a blessing to have like a wedding or to have children when you know they walk in the truth. It's such a joy. And we have to do something to have that. And we had to come out of the land of bondage. Now, let's go on. And God wants to do the work for the Lord. It says, it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. And I often, maybe you've heard me say this before, some of you, but there just seems to me, there's something within me that wants to explain this verse. When I was made aware of, it's in Exodus 34, verse 10. I thought, now why would God want to do a terrible thing with me? And if you do a word study on that, that is basically just, He wants to do an awesome wonder with your life. The word terrible there in the Old English would have meant awesome or astounding. And so just, I don't know even what the German says there. I often go to the German sometimes to, probably at one time I have. Just so you know that God wants to do marvelous things. But before He does that, He took us, and He will take you, and you may have experienced this. And the reason for preaching this is not, there's many of you here, I'm sure, that have had an experience that can relate to what I'm saying. But the church, if it's growing, and the gospel, if it's redounding to the glory of God and being spread, there's more people coming in. And our experience and testimony in life is that coming out of the land of bondage, and we become sanctified by the blood of Christ, we get born again, meaning that we actually have God. We have a relationship with God. We know now, we knew that our righteousness was by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that came a life of deeds, of work. Not works for righteousness, but works because we now were made righteous. And when we found that out, and when we got there, it was such a blessing. And I thought life was going to be good and wonderful and nothing could ever get better. We had peace with God. But there is a wilderness journey that I want to encourage you in, that where God takes us and He wants to cleanse us and sanctify us like He did the children of Israel. And He told them, so now they were behind the blood. And He took them out. I'm just going to kind of parallel, don't have a lot of scripture verses. There's a lot in the Old Testament in Exodus and Deuteronomy that we could go to where God wanted to show His children that He was actually going to provide for them. And He wanted to test their faith. And that's the wilderness. That's what I call the wilderness journey. If you go on with God, sometimes God takes us through hard times. But I want to encourage you that, as it says in Exodus 13, the children of Israel, they complained, they murmured, and sometimes we slip back and we just, we get caught up with everyday life, with things that go on around us. And God wants to work those things out of us like He did the children of Israel. And He says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever openeth... let me just move on. I'm in Exodus 13. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength the hand of the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, as the Lord went before them, by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night, but before His people. And then the children of Israel, like we do sometimes, like we go out into the, we get out of out of our old sins, we get on this journey with Christ. And as it says in Hebrews, the Lord chastens those He loves. He tries our faith, as it says in Peter. And there's many trials at times. And God, I think of this, where Moses told the people, they were murmuring and complaining. And that's what happened to us. We get back into a rut where we're ungrateful. We're unthankful. We murmur and complain. And Moses told the children of Israel there, he said, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." A warning there, or a thought there, is we can slip back into ungratefulness for what the Lord has done for us. And as we go on that wilderness journey, let's not slip back to the point that God needs to try us. He told the children of Israel there that, I don't know if I can find the verse quick enough, but he actually was trying their faith to see what was in their hearts. And God doesn't do that just to make you miserable or me miserable. As we look back over life, we saw that God wanted to do that, to cleanse us, to sanctify us. In a sense, what I mean by that is He wanted us to get rid of the things that didn't bring glory to Him. He wants you and me to have a life that, you know, when it comes to life, the critical thing is, one of the critical points in our attitude is gratefulness. It says to be thankful in the Lord always. And whether we take things for granted or not. So in Psalms 92, verse 1, as you go through the wilderness journey with God, as if life is hard, it can be a time of grieving. And sometimes I think this wilderness journey, I know that for us back, there was kind of like a midlife time there about 7 or 8 years ago where I got very low and I was very burned out. And in a sense, that was, sometimes we go through kind of a wilderness of sanctifying. This can happen through losses. It can happen through financial losses. It can happen because we spend all our time working. That was my problem. I didn't spend enough time with God. If we don't abide in the vine, abide in Christ. And I lost that connection, that deep personal connection. I lost that gratefulness. And it turned into another wilderness experience of God having to take me through what I call the wilderness of life, in a sense. If things were hard, there wasn't always water. There wasn't always. What I mean by that is God wanted me to look to Him to provide for things, not to myself. I need to move on here because I want to get on we move on, and God has promised. He wants us to live in a land of promise. While I know that we often think that the land of promise is heaven, and it is. Heaven is the final goal. If we have a life in Christ and a life, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, there is a promise. There is an eternal hope. But back to, let me just finish on gratefulness versus murmuring. I see many times in our life, and I see this many times repeated over and over, in people that in our churches and in other Christians, they get very weary, sometimes depressed, and there's just a wearisome on the journey. of this, more or less, this wilderness. We forget that God actually has, and I look at it, He has a cloud there by day. If we focus on Him, He will show Himself there. There's a light there. There's a pillar of fire there by night. When it's at our darkest times, God is there and there's a light there. And I look at those promises, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day leading us. But as it says in 2 Corinthians, that we look not at the things which are, it says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means what you see around you and what we get focused on and what gets our focus away from God while we're going through hard times is the temporal things. And that's one of my burdens, or one of the things that I see around me, and I've seen myself do that. I'm like passion to many people. That means that I have the same issues and problems that I'm talking about and preaching about. But they're overcomable, if that's a word. We can be overcomers. You can't overcome them by looking to God. But we can't overcome them if we stay focused on the temporal things. The temporal things. We have, that's what I was wanting to share. It seems like that it almost doesn't matter. I've seen this in the rich and the poor. Now, I'm not here to judge you whether you're rich or poor. But what I mean by that is, there's been a time in our life when we've been financially very struggling, strapped very hard. There's people that are poor that suffer the same as people that are rich. And the reason they do is because they're focused on temporal things. They're focused on their jobs. They're focused on making money. The rich can be focused on making money. The poor can be focused on making money. That's what I'm saying. It's very basic. And other temporal things are even, Jesus said, He said it so straightforward as this, that he who loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me cannot be my disciple. In a sense, he's putting each other, if we look to each other and we have more of a love for another person than we do for God, in a sense, that is some of the temporal. Now, I'm not putting person, people so much in the temporal line, but to that extent is what Jesus actually said. And the temporal things are all the things that are around us that distract us. There's many things that distract us besides just work and riches. Today, there's technology. The world has so many pleasures to offer. And the children of Israel going through the wilderness there were distracted by their desire to have life easy. Now, I'm not a promoter of making life hard. And that's not, don't hear me say that you have to make life hard. But to, and we can sometimes do some things that we think we make life hard. In other words, in order to follow God, sometimes we think we need to deny ourselves of some of these things, and we do. I believe that if we do something unto the Lord and it's for the right reason, denying ourselves and making some disciplines in our life are good. But those disciplines sometimes get kind of washed to a minimum because we're still more focused on the temporal. We're more focused in the end, I got to make sure that I get this done, and I get this done, and I get this done. And many things are things that I created myself. So I'm just warning us that God is not interested in, He is interested in us making a living. He's interested in us surviving and providing. But He wants to do the providing. And we need to be grateful for what we have. When it comes to life, our gratefulness depends on the ability to see God's greater plan. That was one of the comments that I often use. In James 1:17, how do you explain that every good gift comes from the Father above? And sometimes it's like life. Well, life doesn't hand me all that many good gifts. But I've discovered that sometimes what I'm expecting as a good gift are problems that I created myself. If I would just relax a little bit and let God provide, it would be much simpler and much more of a gift, much more appreciated than me working and trying and trying and trying so hard myself. And it just keeps me in that wilderness journey. The land of promise, the land of Canaan. Let's go on to that as I finish. I want to spend a little more time there. As I read in Exodus 34:10 there that God wants to do marvelous and wonderful works, I should have maybe spent a little more time reading some of the things, but I'll just explain it in my own words here, that God promised through Moses, speaking to the children of Israel there, and then he went on to Joshua. After the children of Israel failed, and this is the miserable and the sad part is, that if we murmur and complain while God is taking us through a trial or wanting to sanctify us, we will actually lose the promise. We will not make it to the land of Canaan. Whether it's eternal land of Canaan or the land of Canaan as I'm going to describe it, today I believe you and I need to look forward. I don't think you need to resist. I'm not promoting that you resist or try to move away from God taking you through a wilderness journey, because He was not going to make a shortcut for the children of Israel. And He will not make a shortcut for you and me. He takes us right where He wants us to be. And if there's a hard time there, there's no water there, you ask Him for water. There's no food there, you ask Him for food. In a sense, if you don't have direction in your life, you ask Him for direction. And that's what we learned as we had our journey in life. I can say and testify that our wilderness experience with God has been good. It's been good for us. You can look back and it's a real faith builder to know that God is faithful. And He will provide answers. I'm not just talking about providing money or food or clothes. He will do that as well. But He'll provide answers. He'll provide so that there can be mercy shown to thousands of generations after us. And that's one of my heart burdens, is that how can we pass on? What can I do and what can you do to pass on to your children the works or the godly things, the values or the glory of God? Anyway, so on to the land that He wants to show us. And as we finally, some life does get easier. It does. I don't know how to explain that. Now, sometimes it's hard. This comes and goes, so get me right here. Sometimes life is harder than other times. God takes us through trials. But the reason I say life does get easier is if we allow God to try us and we actually go through that phase, that section of life. My encouragement to you is that don't be weary in well doing. It does get better. And I don't know how it gets better. It probably mostly gets better because we begin to really trust God more. It doesn't always mean that life just really becomes so smooth and easy. But here's what it's like. It does get better in the sense that God helps us with victories. Like He did for the children of Israel. After they entered the land of Canaan, and that's where I come in at, I believe that we should have more people, or we should look at living the Christian life today as a land of promise, that God is there. And whether it's conquering Ai It's conquering this city. It's conquering this circumstance. It's conquering something for the glory of God. And God will help us conquer. He is a conquering Lord. And as a church, as a group of people, He also wants to do that. That all the earth, as it says in Joshua 4, let me turn to that. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. There always needs to be remain a holy, godly reverence there for the Lord. Because it does say to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And I think that simply means that we don't need to get light about it. It's serious. But I still want to encourage you that and say that through God and His promises, through a life with Jesus Christ. Yes, we recognize that there's hard times, but there is a land of Canaan to live in, and we can live part of that land. That promised land can be ours today. Let me explain why I feel that that is accurate and correct is God wants to show the world who He is. And if you wait to live completely, if you have this mentality that you can't live and enjoy what God has until you get to heaven, the world is not seeing that part of it. He wants a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, as it says in Hebrews. Maybe I should turn there to finish, if I can find that. Let's see here. Right now, I can't think of where that is. He wants a holy nation, and he wants those that. Let me just read here. Here's part of it. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. This is in Hebrews 12, the last part. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That goes back to what He told the people in Joshua there. That He has a promise. That He wants to see His people. And you are one of those. And remember that one of the primary attitudes that we need to have is not of murmuring, not of complaining. And another one is not to look at the temporal things. Because we want everything to redound to the glory of God. We want God to receive the glory. It says there, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now I just say this, continue in 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. This word perfect is complete in where God has you. You can be complete going through the wilderness with journey with God. Do you believe that? The word perfect in many, the word perfect in the Bible, not always, but many times, where that we are perfect in Christ doesn't necessarily, yes, we strive for to be genuine, to be perfect in Christ, but it means that we are complete in where God has us. Here's another bit or a piece of of observation that I believe many of you older ones or and even younger ones, but if we are incomplete, it is because we have actually stopped God from working in our life. And the way we do that is not accept. There's many ways we do that. First of all, sin. We fall into a sin. But many ways that we're not complete is when God is asking us to do something. He's calling us to something. Or He's wanting to cleanse us from something. And we don't go along with that. We stop that. God is going to keep us there until He gets that message across to us. And so I usually look at that as if we are complete, you are following God to the best of your knowledge and allowing Him to work in your life, meaning you're walking with God. The best place to be with God is not before Him and not behind Him, but right in His will. That is complete. That is perfect. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I'd like to leave that with you. In every good work there is a work that God has for you. There is a purpose that God has for all of us. And my encouragement is not to be weary in that. And in that purpose is another thought that just came to me, a desire to share. In the purpose that God has for us, we have learned that there's some things God doesn't want us to do, and there's some things God wants us to do. So you look at the whole picture. If we have any purpose in life, if we have goals in life, goals are defined by two things. And those are, a goal is you look to, God has a goal. He has a mission for you. He has a purpose for you and for me. And He's looking at the master plan. And He sees that He wants your life to reflect Christ and be something, to do something for Him. And so every goal, every purpose defines what it wants, but it also defines what it don't want. And we can't get too focused on just one or the other. My encouragement is to, as a church and as your life, there are some things that we need to put off and there's some things we need to put on. That's another way of saying it. The Bible talks about putting off and putting on. So let's do that together, brothers and sisters, and let's not be carried away with the temporal things that don't profit. I know we do need to live with some of these temporal things. I'm leaving that up to you how to discern that. If, first of all, make sure that we come out of that land of bondage and be free and have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ and not look back like they wanted to. At times we tend to want to look back. It's like those things that we had, the leaks and all the good things they have that we had before almost look tempting. Don't look back. If God is sanctifying us with a wilderness journey, embrace that and look to Him to take us through. But strive to live in that promised land that God wants to do awesome things, marvelous things for the sake of the world, knowing what's in your life and who you are and who you serve as individuals, as families, and as a church. That's our desire as well. May the Lord help us do that. He will.